Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be with you. And we've got a returning guest, and you know what I say about returning guests, right? If they come back, they're great. And this guest is not an exception to my little rule about that. Doug Goldstein is our guest. He's a certified financial planner. He is his own radio host. And in fact, Doug and I share a lot of activities, and he writes weekly for the Jerusalem Post. He is right now in Jerusalem. And his what's really neat about Doug is he started his career in Wall Street, in our Wall Street, with Dean Witter back in 1992. And after developing a successful practice in New York, he then moved his family to Israel. And he is an accredited investor. He's licensed as an Israeli advisor and also licensed in the United States, certified financial planner, registered investment advisor, trust and estate practitioner. And I love that combination. And so Doug comes to us with a lot of experience, and he is in it, and he's written books, and I'm really tickled with that. Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, it's really great to be here, David. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. It's so cool. You know, I made a little bit of a love fest here, but I love what you're doing. It sounds really good because it's a lot of what I'm doing, so I'll confess that up front. But listen, we talked before about a lot of things with your book, and you and I still had plenty to talk about, so we wanted to have you back, and I want to get to several things. But before we get into some of the nuts and bolts, I've got to ask you, and I know you talk about this very often, you're asked to talk about this a lot, and I want to talk a little bit, if we can, about from your vantage point, because you've been in the United States, but then you got unshackled from, being focused as I am, and a lot of advisors are, you know, kind of with this operating from the position of being in the United States is very different than where you are working in Jerusalem. You have the luxury, I'll call it, of being in a place where you look at the United States as across the pond, and you look at us and our country and our companies as a foreign investor. So I'd love to get your take, especially in light of the world events. How do you see it? Give us a little bit of perspective. So, because we've got these blinders, I think, sometimes investing from the U.S. perspective.
Sure. First of all, I think it's a great question. And I also think that it's important for everyone to always try to step back. You know, all too often every human being is definitely a see the trees, not the forest.
Right.
And, I mean, you must tell people all the time, David, you know, no matter what you're working on, just take a step back. What do you want your future to look like? What are your important goals? These are all the big picture questions. And I think that your question is kind of a microcosm of the whole concept of look at the whole world.
Don't, yeah.
It's not just all in the United States. And nothing against the United States, but I don't think it's ever been the number one market in the world. There's always been some other stock markets that did better. Not to say that you shouldn't invest in the U.S. Quite the opposite. I think it's a great place to be, but it does suggest that people need to look a little bit beyond the borders.
Well, I think that's spot on, Doug, and that's kind of the way I was thinking about it. But it's really easy for us just to get, you know, this perspective and have this we call in the investment world a home country bias. And, you know, with the U.S.'s role in the world and, it's natural for that to occur. But, you know, your point about the other countries or stock indices from other countries outperforming, definitely are plenty of examples of that. And you don't have to look very far past the Wall Street Journal. Every day I open up the paper and I look at where we are year to date, and I look at all the major stock markets around the world. And, you know, very often another market or several markets are outperforming.
Yeah, I think that's also true. And, of course, because I sit in Israel, which is sort of the often referred to as the startup nation, the area that most people in Israel talk about is, hey, this is where voicemail was invented. This is where your disk on key was invented. This is where your Windows operating system was invented. So we get a bias also here, feeling that so much of the pharmaceutical and computer technology is all right here. And I also think that even people sitting in Israel forget that there is technology outside of Israel that's developed. even though we usually just sell it off to the big players in America.
How about that? Yeah, we've got a little here in the United States, but you know, but
but no, I'm just describing. You describe it, the home bias. Everyone feels, you know, wherever he is, that's where it's at.
Yeah, it is, and which is ironic because the old cliche or truism or whatever you call it of the grass is always greener somewhere else, that, you know, the exotic and the foreign, which to the person who's there is not so exotic and not so foreign. And, you know, it's very interesting how all that affects our investment psychology. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. You're just joining us. Doug Goldstein is our guest today, certified financial planner. He's got his own radio program. He's written several books, including Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. And the website, Goldstein on Gelt, G-E-L-T, goldsteinongelt.com. And we'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and spend some more time with Doug. Stay right there.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Doug Goldstein on the line with me, certified financial planner, registered investment advisor, radio host, financial planner, author, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. That's the book. His website, Goldstein on Gelt, G-E-L-T, goldsteinongelt.com. And very happy to have Doug with us again. And I was, before the break, asking him a little bit about, you know, the investment perspectives and the fact that Doug is duly licensed both in the United States as well as Israel gives us a very convenient resource to tap into his perspective of looking at the United States as a foreign investment, which is just so cool to be able to do. And you know, when you travel the world, Doug, I imagine in different places people have very different opinions. I had an opportunity. My clients afforded me the opportunity. They gave me a week off, so I went on a trip and had opportunity to be in Europe, and it was very interesting because the perspective that the Europeans had was a little surprising as it relates to some of the events going on with Greece and all of that. I was, of course, all of it was market research, of course. But
right.
But the point is that the perspectives are different than people might anticipate. And so I took that back with me and said, okay, that's something I'm definitely going to bear in mind as I look at the world and how we want to invest.
Yeah, I think that's critical. Also, it's so easy these days through a U.S. brokerage account to invest globally. It's not like, you know, when I started in the business, if you wanted to buy a stock overseas, man, it was a whole complicated affair and expensive. But now it's really a breeze. And with ETFs, mutual funds, and money managers, there are so many different tools that people have at their disposal just to do these kind of transactions.
Well, and that brings us to some of the core topics we want to get to. And that's a great segue, Doug, is that when people look at, you know, their investing, it can be overwhelming. I mean, it can be overwhelming. And you mentioned the ease of ETFs and mutual funds, and that's very true. But you've got to know where you're going and what's the plan. And so that brings me to one of the things I know that we wanted to talk about, and that's the idea or the concept of setting goals and for people to think about what they're trying to accomplish. So give us a little bit of your perspective on, you know, how people should approach the orientation of their finances and putting these goals on the table and actually having goals. And why does it matter? I mean, speak to that a little bit for us.
Yeah. First of all, I want to stress that I think that in the business that you and I are in, we often talk to people about goals. But maybe you've noticed, sometimes people are like, yeah, Dave, whatever. Right? It doesn't speak to them. It sounds good in theory, but in practice, it doesn't always work out when people begin talking about goals, and I think there's a really good reason why. In fact, I'll ask you a trick question. You know the book by Stephen Covey called The 7 Goals of Highly Effective People?
Yeah, yeah. the habits.
The trick question was, it's not called the seven goals of highly effective people.
You got me. Yeah, it's the habits.
It's called the seven habits of highly effective people. Because the fact is, highly effective people may or may not have goals. They change their goals. Mm. It's a whole world. They may know which direction they're going, but they're successful because they have good habits. And that's really what people need in life, but certainly in investing, is to have really good money habits.
Well, and that, you know, that's what it boils down to. And you know, the other thing about goals, as you were describing that, Doug, I was thinking about one of the things that strikes me about the goal setting. Sometimes people resist that because it seems to be just too convoluted or too, I don't know, elongated of a process. And it's like, golly, do I really, Doug, have to talk about setting goals with you? Can't you just, here's my money. Can't you just invest it and make a lot of money? In fact, you know, talking about goals makes me think that you know, you want to talk too much about that. Just here, make money for me. That, right?
That's my goal. Get rich, right? That's what people say. But obviously, I think they're missing out. You know, one of the ways I'll describe it to people sometimes is either, let's say you had to choose either to develop really good habits or really good goals.
Hmm.
So I say, imagine you were the coach of a basketball team, and your goal was to make it to the finals, right? To be number one in the finals. And that's your goal, and you talk to your team about it all the time. You really get them excited all the time. That's your goal. Everyone, rah, rah, let's do it. That's you as the coach. Then there's another coach who says to his team, he says, boys, we're going to shoot 250 baskets every single day. You can't go home until you've gotten in the habit of doing 250 baskets a day. Now these two teams play each other. Which one's going to win?
Hmm.
The one that's all excited about its goals, or the one that actually has a habit of getting the ball in the basket 250 times a day?
Yeah, and you know, because the goal, I think the key thing that really struck me in what you said, Doug, is that goals are changing. They will change, but if you've got the habits in place and you're following this process, so those things will give you the strength and the support and the process and all that good stuff that, you know, that comes from in being habitual about good behavior. And so the next obvious question is, how do people get there to that place with their investing and looking at their finances?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think when you talk to people about their investments, it has to be a positive discussion. Because, you know, if you tell someone all the time and you beat into them what you've got to do and the pain of saving and the pain of risk, it's not going to be excited, right, if they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's a good example. The difference between goals and habits is that goals actually make you unhappy. Because, you know, you talk to a 45-year-old businessman about his retirement, you know, you're going to talk to him about it next year and the year after and year. It's never getting there, right? It's forever away. But if you tell someone, let's develop a really good habit of saving $2,500 a month, you know, at the end of the month, he did it, and he's happy, right? So you've achieved something, and you get in the habit of this, and you constantly reinforce these good habits, which I think is why people really, and even as advisors, I really think that it's our job to just encourage people to develop the systems and maintain those systems and make them a habit, so that they'll forever be good investors.
Yeah, and because it is easy for those goals to feel like it's a, it kind of fits in the category, I should, I oughta, these are things I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not, you know, why aren't I, why aren't you, you're supposed to have been doing this, you know, that sort of thing. And so it is very much comes across as that negative as opposed to a positive, pleasant habit of doing something where they're seeing the result of that ongoing process.
Yeah, that's for sure true.
I like it. It's good stuff. Now, you've talked also about the importance of looking at these, like in terms of starting a habit, there's the T's, the three T's you refer to. What are the three T's about being able to start a habit?
Yeah, I think the first thing to realize is that the habits that most of us have are habits we have because our parents taught us. If you sat down at the dinner table when you were a kid and every day your mother said, David, put your napkin on your lap, you know, after a while it just becomes a habit to do that. So the trigger, in fact, and the first of the three T's, which is it's what anchors you to do something. So you might get to be so habituated when you sit down at the table, just that's the trigger, and it makes you put your napkin on your lap. That's the second T is the target, what it is that you're doing. And the third thing you have to do when you want to develop the habit is you have to give yourself a treat every time you do it right. So the all habits, in order to develop them, you need a trigger, something that alerts you. Oh, I have to do this target. That's the second thing. And then when you do it, if you want to make it, build yourself so that you are the type of person who does that, give yourself a treat. And the treat can be as simple as patting yourself on the back or giving yourself a smile, which will release some endorphins and make you feel good and saying, hey, I did it.
Well, you know, that's, I like that, Doug, because I think so often, you know, people look at these things like they're, you know, it's all this this system of, look, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But if you understand that you really do have to have some positive, you're not playing mind games with yourself, but you do need to know that, you know, that there are rewards to doing these things, because it's easy to not give yourself that.
I don't mind playing mind games with yourself. If it works and it gets you doing the right thing, that's perfect.
It's the results that matter, right, Doug?
In this case, if you know, saying people, we know that if you develop good habits, you'll be the type of person who you probably want to be. Look at your role models and your mentors, and you'll see that it's not that they did one great thing. Oh, he's a real hero. It's that, you know, he's the type of guy who's every day doing what I'd like to do.
Mm. What do you say to people that, you know, that people that invest and they, let's say they, you know, they open up their investment account, they open up with your firm, they open up with my firm, we agree to manage their money for them, we tell them what we're going to do, we tell them the things we offer, the services we provide, how we go about managing their accounts, and they just go, you know, maybe they've had the investment money with us for 3 months, 6 months, and they just go, you know, I want more return, or with the immediacy of so many things that are technologically based, you know, that push, you know, everything is so quick and fast that people's willingness to maybe be as patient as they should be, I think, is less than it used to be. I think people are just not as able to wait to see the result. What do you say to that part? Because that's also part of being in a good habit about your investing.
Yeah, that's a very hard issue, because simply the mentality of people not wanting to wait. But you know something? When we talk about long-term investing, long-term does not mean until Thursday.
Long-term really means
you're in it for decades.
Yes,
you know,
thank
you're
you.
You're talking about growth of your portfolio. And what I always point out to people is the studies of which there are many,
sure,
that show that those people who trade their own accounts and actively trade and are buying and selling, not only do they underperform the professionals, but they underperform the market, and they often just underperform staying at zero. In other words, they actually lose money on a regular, consistent basis until they wipe themselves out. So there's no such thing as a quick fix.
Well, I am glad to have that perspective, Doug, because that sometimes, you know, and I'm thankful that it's rare, but sometimes I run into that, and I have to remind people, and they're just like, well, you know, it's like the TV commercials. I want my money. I want it now. And, you know, and people are just like, where is it? I pushed the button. I hired you. And again, it's not very often, but now and then, and I go, I wonder if Doug's had a similar experience, because sometimes.
I find it a lot. I also find, sadly, that, you know, someone ends up in a less scrupulous vendor of some product who says, well, don't worry, we can get you 10% or 15%. And so who wouldn't want to get that kind of return?
I run into that sometimes too, Doug. I'm glad to hear you say that, because, you know, doing it the right way and what's best for the person is usually not a quick fix. And if somebody listening to this program has been told by someone that they can get them a big, fast, immediate, especially with low risk or no risk, but high returns,
right,
you know, danger, 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 you know, there is... You know,
and I always ask people, I say, you know, if that's the case, if someone's making you such an offer, why doesn't he just go to the bank and borrow the money? Because if it's really low risk, the bank would be happy to lend him money.
Exactly.
And so if they go back and ask the guy, he goes, well, you know, banks don't understand. And then I think, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. It's always, those banks, they don't know anything.
Right.
Well, you do, Doug, and I'm glad you're with us. Doug Goldstein, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, radio host, GoldsteinOnGelt.com is the website. The book, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. And we're very glad to have Doug with us. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and dig a little deeper, and we'll talk about return on investment, ROI. What does that mean, and is there a new take or a new way of looking at that? We'll get Doug's perspective. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hello, welcome back. We're with Doug Goldstein on the line, certified financial planner and author, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Cool book. Doug was kind enough to send me a copy. Really a good read. Help yourself. Go to the website, goldsteinongelt.com. And ROI, Doug, return on investment, is that still the way to look at it? What is your thought?
So I'm going to give you a new perspective on it. It actually comes from when I was writing the book, Rich as a King, with Susan Polgar, who is a world chess champion. One of the things we used to do from time to time is we would actually play a game of chess. And one time when we were playing, I just about had her checkmated. I was about to move and win. And it was her turn, and all of a sudden, her bishop came from the other side of the board, captured my queen, and within like 1 minute, I had lost the game. And I was so distraught, you know? I couldn't believe it. I was really so close, I thought.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she said to me, "What, Doug, you thought I didn't see what you were planning?" Which, of course, I guess I was a little naive.
Right.
But I said, "All right, Susan, so tell me, how do you do it? You know, how can you just look at the board?" And, you know, David, in 2005, Susan broke the Guinness Book of World Record for the most number of simultaneous chess games played. She played about 400 people at the same time.
Mm.
So I said, "Hey, how can you do such a thing?" And she said, "Well, I look at the whole board." And then I said, "All right, well, tell me how you do that." And she started explaining with all these chess terms that I won't go into now. And I said, "You know, Susan, that's too complicated. Let's simplify what you do when you look at a board. What's the first activity?" And she said, "You know, the number one thing I have to confirm is that I'm not in check, that my king is not at risk, and then I'm looking for the risks to my pieces. So the first thing is risk." She said, "The second thing that I'll do is I'll see if there's, you know, maybe a free piece. Maybe my opponent left some money on the table and I can capture something and take a great opportunity." So that's the O, the opportunity.
Okay.
And she said, "After I've dealt with the risk, and it's got to be in this order, because you can't lose your king and then say, 'Oh, I've got an opportunity.' She said, first I deal with the risk, then I look for the opportunity, and then I begin to invest in building my pieces." ROI, risk, opportunity, investment. And that all comes from her model of looking at the whole board, which is what I'm always telling investors, and I assume you are too.
I like that. I hope you don't mind, Doug. I'm going to start talking about that. I'm going to start telling them. we have to look at the whole board because, you know, again, back to my comment, which very well dovetails into your new twist on ROI, risk, opportunity, and invest, that we really need to look at the whole board and not, because very often, I know that people want to jump over, you know, like a the knight, jump over pieces and get too ahead of themselves, and they overlook the risk. Maybe there was an opportunity, and they're jumping all the way to the invest part. And when you say that, you know, obviously we're talking about investing for growth and because we've already met some of these other things. And so we've got to take this a step at a time. And this is why we don't, you know, take a large, dangerous position, perhaps in a concentrated way, because that's where you really are putting yourself at risk. And what is, as you very well put, what's the point? Or what difference does it make if you've been told you can get a guaranteed 8% return on your money when you lose your principal?
Yeah. You know, as you're describing this, I'm thinking this actually brings together the three things we spoke about today, which was international investing, building habits, and looking and risk opportunity invest. I think that if you say people walk away from today's discussion and say, you know, I want to start investigating global investments, which I think is a good idea, then they may want to develop a certain habit, which is to look at the risk. The number one question, I don't want to make people paranoid, but I just think the first thing you should look at when reviewing your own portfolio or any new investment is say, what are the risks? And if whoever's selling it to you can't explain the risks, it doesn't mean it's bad if it has risks. It just means you should understand what you're getting into before you get started. So if you're going to invest globally, develop the habit of looking for risks. I think that's how I would put all three of these together.
Well, and I'll take it one step further, Doug. I think you're in the right vein here. And if somebody cannot explain to the risk, it's not that you're right. It's not that whatever it is not necessarily a good investment or is automatically a bad one. The problem is if the person can't explain those risks to you, then you're just talking to the wrong person. Okay, because it's not hard to explain these products and investments and the risks associated with them. Not hard at all if you're talking to somebody that has knows this. But I've had people that are financial folks that are new at this and they are trying to help somebody and they just can't articulate, don't have enough experience. Or even more dangerous is when family or friends try to guide somebody else and say, look, here's an investment to work with, and they don't understand the risks themselves.
Yeah, that's or the other professionals. I've often had clients that come in and they say, you know, my doctor suggested I invest in such and such a stock. And just by chance, I happen to know the doctor because he's also my client, which I would never let on. And I know that he's like the worst stock picker ever, but doctors sometimes just say things with such confidence, and you know they wear the white lab coat, so you believe them, even if investing in the markets are not their expertise.
Well, Doug, I tell you what, we'll have to have you back again. Doug Goldstein, certified financial planner and radio host, GoldsteinOnGelt.com, and the book, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing. Doug, very good. Thank you so much, and we'll do it again.
David, thanks so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.